Hey, business building warrior, welcome to the weekend update. If you're listening to this episode right when it came out, it's Saturday. And what we like to do on Saturdays is still work. A lot of us work 6 days and rest one. Hey, good enough for God, good enough for us. That's the way he created the whole universe, right? So we're working on a Saturday, sure, but why not take along a great update, a podcast episode that we've gone back and reviewed from maybe 2 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 months ago. We've got hundreds of great interviews. So what we do on the weekends is we go back, we find those great episodes that maybe slipped past your radar, or some of those great insights and tips and strategies from some of the successful students, and just kind of break it down into little easily digested nuggets for your weekend update. So that's what we're going to do today. And we're going to dive into that in just a moment after I make a couple of announcements. First, if you haven't got a free copy yet of the brand new, all new, our 11th update of the Silent Sales Machine book. This is the book that started this podcast. It started our community, the 73,000 members of our free Facebook group, our incredible events. It all started because I sat down about 20 years ago and wrote a book over a weekend. It was actually just a PDF report at the time. And it took off. And it started this incredible movement that is now thousands of business building warriors all over the world. It wasn't because of anything that I did. I was just making some observations and sharing what others had taught me. I kind of compiled the information into one place with the premise of, hey, you can use the internet to grow the business of your dreams. And here's the rules I'm kind of discovering. Here's some of the things you should avoid, I was discovering. And there's a group of us. We just kind of compiled this information and kept learning new things. Well, I've updated it, and the 11th update is now available. All the stuff you should avoid, the legitimate opportunities that are available to you, the mindset that's required in order to tackle these opportunities, a lot of very specific strategic advice on using the internet to launch and grow the business of your dreams, multiple income streams, using the internet creatively. That's the book. So go to silentsalesmachine.com and you can see more about it. Or you can text the word free, that's F-R-E-E, to this phone number. It'll be in the show notes as well today. The phone number is 507-800-0090. Now, if you happen to live outside the United States or Canada, that might not work for you. So just email our support team. There's a link at silentgym.com and say, hey, I heard Jim make that free offer. Assuming the free offer is still around, which it will expire at some point, but now as we're launching the book, we wanted to give it away for free. That's a great opportunity for you. So there's that. And I also want to remind you, if you're new around here, this podcast is the supporting podcast for the leading Amazon seller training in the industry. I'm talking about the Proven Amazon Course at provenamazoncourse.com. It's the longest running Amazon seller training in the industry with more success stories than any other, a bigger support team. There's about 100 of us that support that course. All kinds of creative modules for every level of Amazon seller experience. If you know nothing about Amazon, you know nothing about e-commerce, we got you. If you've already got a $50,000, $100,000, $1 million a month business, there's ideas in there I guarantee you have never been exposed to that could improve your business. So for $39 a month, provenamazoncourse.com gets you a library of content that grows with you. We believe in just-in-time education, which means right when you need it, we got that next thing that you need, and it's in there. And then we've got our free Facebook group support community at silentgym.com that's there to help you as well if you want to check that out. So that's the introduction for this weekend update. Let's go find out what the team has put together for us today. Enjoy this episode. We'll have brand new episodes for you starting at the beginning of the week, so don't miss those. Hey, have a great weekend. God bless you, warrior. Let's jump into the content. So Raquel, welcome to Silent Sales Machine Radio. Good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you too, Jim.
It's a pleasure meeting you today, and I can't wait to get into your story if you're ready.
I am ready. So I've been a reseller since 2019, but this was before I even knew about Amazon. I was selling on Poshmark and Mercari.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just doing going to Goodwill on their dollar days and then reselling those. Just a side hustle, nothing serious. And then in 2021, I went back to school for business.
Okay.
And I'm about to graduate this May.
Congratulations. Where are you attending?
Thank you. College of Southern Nevada here in Las Vegas.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
So I would say it was about June, July when I discovered selling on Amazon. And the first few videos I saw were like how to sell RAOA. And I was like not really interested in that because I was already doing the other side hustle with the Poshmark. And once I discovered the wholesale side of Amazon, I was like really interested. I was like, okay, what is this about? So I spent about a month just like kind of learning about it and seeing what it had to offer for me. And then I was watching like some TikTok lives and stuff. And they were like, you need to get your LLC, your EIN, and your seller certificate. So I got those in July. And then 2 days later, I went to Hawaii on vacation because I'm from Hawaii. So I just went back home. Yeah. So we went there for about 2 weeks, came back, and then I just hit the ground running in August. So August was my first month on Amazon, but I didn't sell anything. And I remember I was on a TikTok live. I wasn't on it. I was watching somebody else talking about selling on Amazon. And they were talking about ASD and like, who's going to ASD? And then people were like messaging in the chats. And I was like, what is ASD? So he basically explained it. It was like, it's in Las Vegas in 2 days. Are you going or who is going? And I was like, okay, well, it just started. I live in Las Vegas. So
that's right up the road.
Yeah, it's perfect. So I was like, I felt like really blessed to be able to jump in that way.
That's cool. Well, a little point of trivia about ASD, the our podcast episode, the very first episode, number one, episode number 760-something now, was my keynote address at ASD in Vegas.
Oh, wow.
Several years ago. They invited me to speak. Yeah. So we just like, hey, let's record it and start a podcast. That's how our podcast started.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Good to know.
Yeah. That was 2016, yeah. I think, something like that. So.
Wow. And then here we are now.
Yeah. I never imagined it would be hundreds of episodes. I thought we'd record one every once in a while, but it just kind of took off. It became our main marketing vehicle for our community, telling all these great stories from the students like you and people who are doing big things. And yeah, that's what the show is. Yeah, that's where it started, though. That's the roots.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I haven't been in a while. I love that environment, though.
It was really cool. Nothing I've ever experienced before.
Sure.
So it was 2 days before the event that I found out about it. So I went, actually the night before, I created a list of things that I was, because I didn't know like what to expect. I didn't know how to talk to a wholesaler, how to talk to a distributor. Right. So I made a list of questions to ask the distributors. And I just like did, you know, a bunch of content to get all of those questions. So I was like, what are your MOQs? Like, what is your turnaround rate? And like, at the time, I didn't know what all of this meant, but I was like, I know I need to ask these questions so I don't look like I don't know what I'm talking about, you know?
Right.
And then I also had some cardstock. So I printed out like just cardstock business cards the night before and I was like cutting them. That's because I wanted to like make sure like I looked the part at least, not like I just started and I don't know what I'm doing because I didn't. So yeah, I got two wholesalers from that whole deal. And I've been working with them ever since. Mm. And then around, say, November was when I not discovered OA, but I was like more open to OA because of Christmas and FBM and all that. So I was like, okay, maybe like wholesale was really difficult to start, I believe, because it was such a long process to put the order in and then send it to the prep center and then get it to Amazon and then the FC transfers and all that. So it was like over a month before my inventory got to Amazon. So it was around the time that my inventory landed in Amazon when I decided to switch over to RAOA. So once I did that, I just kind of hit the ground running. I think one of my items that I purchased wholesale wasn't selling. So I dropped it $1 and then I sold like over $1,000 in 2 hours. And wow. Yeah, and I was like, okay, so that like worked. There's something to this. Yeah, that worked. So I put it back up. And I was like, maybe I should not drop it like a whole dollar. So I had to fix that a little bit. But that was what kind of pushed me to like, okay, to jumpstart this whole thing, let's do RA, let's do OA, let's put everything that you can in right now. Cause I know from all the content that I've listened to, Q4 is like the big deal in this whole community. So I was like, okay, let's just put everything we got, max out all the credit cards, which I kind of regret, but I kind of don't, because I wouldn't have been so successful if I didn't. But yeah, I learned a lot along that process. And so
this has all just been, just correct me if I'm wrong, Raquel, but I think you're talking about just the past several months, correct?
Yes. So I started in August, zero sales.
Right.
September,
August of 2023. Six months ago as we're recording this. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
So September, I made $200 in sales. October, I made $400. And my goal from there was to double each month. So August, zero. September, $200. October, $400. August, September. October was $2,500. And then, November was $2,500. Then December was $40,000.
Yeah, you had a huge December, which came on all excited and posted. That's when we had a conversation about maybe bringing on the show to talk about that quick ramp up and what had gone into that.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy and unexpected. But I mean, I know I put in the work, I put in the hours, I put in the sweat equity, and I maxed out all my credit cards, which was not the smartest idea. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. But
yeah, we usually don't suggest that. But
yeah,
it sounds like maybe it paid off for you as far as, you know, what are your net margins? Was it a profitable month for you?
It was total net margins, I would say about 17%.
Nice.
So some were over 30, some were under 15. So an average about 17%.
Yeah. Okay. 17% net margin after everything's paid for. And that's great. That's not a bad month.
No.
Yeah.
From zero, full-time college student, stay-at-home mom, just to that, I'm still at this point, kind of, it hasn't sunk in yet. Mm-hmm. So I still don't know what to do with that information at this moment.
That's, you put $7,000 to $8,000 net profit in the bank in a single month with a business that you started just a few months ago.
Yeah.
It's not bad. How's it going? There were a couple weeks into January. Is it still maintaining? Because part of the beauty of the replens model is it's boring stuff year round.
Right.
But if you jumped into some of the seasonal and the hot items for Christmas, you know, then you're going to have to go find more inventory, obviously.
Exactly. And I'm feeling that right now because currently I'm doing about 500 a day, which is not too bad for
something
just started.
Yeah.
But I did feel like the dip of, because there were some days where I was making over 2,000. There was one day I made like 4,000 and it was just like craziness. And now I'm just like, okay, I need to reevaluate. Am I going to stick with wholesale like I originally planned, or am I going to continue with RAOA, maybe work with a prep center? I'm just at this point where I'm trying to reevaluate everything and figure out, okay, I already proved that it worked.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which avenue am I going to take now?
Right.
Because I know I can't do everything because then I'm just going to be all over the place.
Your student and my mom and... You got a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
So how many hours of it do you have available to you to work this business?
So I try to do it in like time blocks. Mm. So I usually have like three time blocks of 1 to 2 hours. So anywhere from 3 to 6 hours a day, I'm trying to work on like organizing things. What do I need to do? What steps do I need to get done in this amount of time to make sure I'm on track to continue this whole machine that I'm trying to build, you know?
Right. I got you. Okay. Which is more than enough time to continue to build something beautiful. We've seen many people do it. I want to think through and help you. I think maybe it'll help the listeners too. this whole wholesale versus arbitrage model. It's sourcing. From my vantage point, there's very little delineation and difference between the two. You're looking for test-worthy ASINs. How you source them doesn't matter. It's more about where's your momentum currently.
Right.
You know, there's some slight differences in them maybe, but for the most part, if you can do one, you can do the other. But most newer sellers, we tend to steer them away from wholesale simply because there's additional barriers, many of which you've already kind of figured out on your own, it sounds like. And you've got a couple wholesalers. But let me ask you this about your December numbers. You did 40,000 in December at about a 17% net margin, which is phenomenal. And now your business, it sounds like you were doing some seasonal type items because your business is about half that now in January.
Correct.
Which, if you weren't doing seasonal, we'd expect January to be about the same as December. But you hopped on the seasonal bandwagon, and that's fine. Some people do, some people don't. We typically don't. So our January is actually shaping out to be every bit as strong as our December because we sell boring year-round stuff, right? Which is what I like to encourage new sellers to focus
on. That's what I want to try to get into. But I wanted to jumpstart everything getting in. Yeah, that was my goal.
You were wise to hustle and put some money in the bank. Well done. That's beautiful. But you can easily be doing that every month. With you did it once, you can do it again. You can build some systems, automate things. But let me ask you about that December number. How much of that 40,000 was wholesale and how much of that was like arbitrage sourcing retail model?
I would say maybe about 40% wholesale and about 60% RAOA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I got you. So you've got some momentum with the wholesale. I was thinking you were going to say, you know, a smaller percent of wholesale. My advice, just as a general rule, without knowing a whole lot more about your business, is keep the wholesale rocking. And that's, was that seasonal? Was the wholesale seasonal or not?
Kind of. It was like toys.
Toys.
So kind of seasonal.
Drop a tad.
A little bit, but yeah. The ones that I did find, I wanted to make sure they were selling year-round and not just December peaks. So I did find like a few that were like...
Got you. And on your arbitrage, are you mainly online sourcing or are you going to stores?
Both. Yeah. So
gotcha.
A little bit of both, but I'm trying to stick with online just because I just have so much going on
The
kids and school and everything.
Yeah, there's no reason. And with all the convenient, like, you know, you can shop on Walmart, for example, and have it delivered to your house and that sort of thing. Like, there's ways to get it and kind of get the best of both worlds, get local inventory and source online, have it delivered.
There is one store that I can only source in the store, and you probably know which one it is. But for that one, I think I'm going to hire my younger sister to go pick those up for me so I have less time that I'm taking out of my day to do that.
Sure. That makes sense. Yeah, there's some stores you just can't shop online for, but just strategically, I think if I were you, I'd focus, from my vantage point, there's lower hanging route to be found quicker with traditional retail and traditional online arbitrage type sourcing strategies. It's going to ramp up much, much quicker there versus pursuing new wholesale accounts. But I would continuously be looking over the wholesale accounts that you do have, looking for opportunity, but those are just more ASINs to be evaluated.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing is looking for test-worthy ASINs. I think you're going to find a lot more test-worthy ASINs retail online versus tracking down new wholesalers right now, though, as a general rule. They're both beautiful, though. But I just look at the number of people in our community who say, hey, I started off wholesale and things are going great, versus the number of people that say, I started off retail and online arbitrage, things are going great. It's the retail online arbitrage crowd that wins the day, hands down.
Yeah.
So much more opportunity there. But if you're willing to go above and beyond and build those relationships and do the extra work and find some of the low-hanging fruit wholesalers, we got people that really dig in. They use tools like Smart Scout and really dig for wholesale opportunities on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about bringing new products to the market, obviously. We're talking about just underserved, test-worthy ASINs the way that you've been trained. I think the retail arbitrage, online arbitrage is easier, but there's plenty of reward to be found in the wholesale as well. So it's kind of a bit of a coin toss because you got some experience, but I would encourage you to stay on the OARA model. Okay. Focus on that while you're scaling and let those other opportunities kind of organically drift into your life, meaning you get a product or a brand that you discover through retail. Maybe you contact the wholesaler at that point, right? It's not a one or the other kind of thing, but
I actually do have one replan in my whole inventory that I just put in my third order for. And it was the OA, started out of the OA, but that company has a backside company for a pro account where you can get your items tax exempt. So I did that for the first time. I received the items and I was like, okay, this is probably the last time I'm going to be doing this because I would rather hire a prep center to do this and the margins are there to do that. But they accidentally, I don't know if it was an accident or not, but they sent me the original boxes with their distributors. Information on it. And I was just like jumping for joy. I was like, okay, now I've got their direct distributor, so I don't have to go through them. So maybe I can cut my margins a little bit more down from that one.
Oh, that's awesome. So how many at a time are you ordering of that?
Originally, I started with 20 just to test it. The next order, I did 160. And then this last order, I did 180, but I feel like I should have done more because I sold more than... They're selling like really fast.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about that ASIN, if you don't mind. Do you happen to
know
how many drops per month, how many other sellers, how consistent is the buy box? Talk me through the Keepa chart a little bit on that one. For those who don't know, the Keepa chart is, go listen to podcast episode 369 for those who don't know what we're talking about with Keepa. But listen, talk to me about the Keepa chart.
Okay, so that one is doing over 400 sales per month.
400 drops on Keepa? When you say sales, how'd you determine that number?
It says 400 per month.
Which tool?
Keepa? Sorry. SellerAmp.
Okay, SellerAmp is estimating 400 sales a month. Gotcha. Which is based on Keepa data. So it's probably, let's say, 50 to 70 drops a month on Keepa. Yeah, all those tools estimate, which you're probably well aware of, right? You've heard us talk about that, right? Like that 400 number is not a hard set number.
Not hard
set. Based on an estimate that they've drawn from Keepa data. But okay, that helps me. So they say 400 a month. And how many other sellers are on that thing?
I want to say... under 20, but maybe over 10.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Coming and going. And it's a nice profitable product for you at typical buy box price.
And Amazon is on that listing as well.
They're on it with you. Yeah. And it's still profitable. Yep. We're on all kinds of ASINs that look like that. A lot of times people run away scared when they see Amazon. It's just not
nothing. I am scared now after December because there was a few stuff that I just like was not selling and I had to return. But
Yeah. Well, just strategically, let me talk you through this, Reco.
Okay.
Strategically, replans typically isn't about, it's not about finding a few good winners and then riding those hard. It's more about constantly finding ASINs that you can temporarily take advantage of, knowing that at some point, the plug is going to be pulled, at least temporarily, almost entirely.
I've heard so many stories and I'm just like not ready for that.
Yeah. Well, it's why you can't get emotionally invested with
anyone. I know.
Because anyone, you know, that's the reselling game. It's won by people who are nimble with small commitments. Yeah. So I say all the time, I'd much rather have 100 ASINs that each sell two or three times a month for me versus two or three ASINs that each sell 100 times a month for me. Because if I've got two or three that each sell 100 times a month, all it takes is Amazon or someone else placing a really big order at a discount, and suddenly I can't even get close to the buy box price without really dropping my price and taking a hit and figuring out what I'm going to do with my extra. But if you stay small and nimble and you're constantly selling out, placing small orders, and you got a large, long list of inventory, ASINs that you're ordering is... that's a very nimble business. And if someone cuts the price in half or something happens and you can't sell that product anymore, now you're left with, 2 to 10 that you can't do anything with instead of, 40 to 120 that you can't do anything with. Are you with me? Yeah. So that really is the long-term play here. And you'll learn that lesson either the easy way by listening to us or the hard way by getting burned a couple times. You're like, oh no, right. I've got 80 units and I haven't even sent them in yet. And the price got cut in half yesterday. But here's the good news. The price almost always comes back up eventually. Yeah. If you just hold on to stuff, almost every single time it comes back up. And I love seeing Amazon coming and going on ASINs. And you don't have to chase the buy box, as we've been emphasizing a lot in the community lately. You could price high on a fast-moving ASIN. You're still going to sell a nice trickle of them. But obviously, the people selling at the most competitive price get most of the sales. But there's plenty of people who want the products quickly, and they're going to pay whatever price is on it. They don't care.
Right.
Are you doing all FBA, or are you doing some merchant fulfill out of your house?
December, I did FBM. And I probably don't ever want to do that again because I'm burnt out.
$40,000 of sales.
Yeah.
Then you did. What percentage of it would you say was FBM dollar volume?
I would say about 90% of the RAOA was FBM.
Wow.
And you don't know about myself.
60% of your business. So a good half of what you sold. You did $20,000 of merchant fulfill out of your house by yourself in December. Yeah, that's work.
It was good job. It was really fun in the beginning. And then
towards that. Like you're just printing money, right?
Yeah. And just driving my whole van. I have a little mini van about my kids. The whole thing is packed with boxes, and I'll take it to. The first time I took a big trip to USPS, I got scolded by this little Asian guy because he was like, no, retailers in the back, retailers in the back. I didn't know. I took all of it. I used my kid's little wagon and I took them all. I took three trips and I filled up one of those big containers you do the drop offs. Yeah. He's like, no, retailers in the back. Yeah, so I learned a very valuable lesson when I got yelled at in front of a bunch of people, but it's okay. Hopefully that'll help somebody else.
I love the tenacity and the determination, just doing what it takes and, hauling your kids around with you and getting it done.
Yep.
That's how these businesses start. But when you're putting thousands of dollars in the bank and you're working around flexible schedules and you can, you're still a student and a mom and you got other things going on. I enjoy that, just the validation of wow, this works. This is mine. I'm doing this. Exactly. So many people try so many things and it just falls flat. This works. If you're willing to do the work, this really does work. And you did it. Yeah. So great job. And you'll be back at those numbers in no problem, no time. If you're doing $500 a day, the difference between that and doing $1,000, $2,000 a day, it's just a matter of building systems. Yeah, finding more ASINs. So that's where you want to be focused, finding more ASINs.
Yeah, for sure. I do want to touch on one of the things that kind of drove me and kind of pushed me along the way to go so big.
Yeah.
I think it was right before Thanksgiving. I was watching a bunch of content and I kept hearing the same thing over and over from different sellers. Like, I wish I knew how well I would do because I would have done it sooner. And across so many platforms, so many different people saying the same thing. I was like, okay, if everybody's saying the same thing, maybe I should be the one to do it sooner. And it worked.
Absolutely. We hear that all the time. I wish I'd have found your community sooner. I wish you'd have found this idea sooner. I wish I'd have found your podcast sooner. Where were you 8 years ago when I needed you? Because the numbers, it's not a matter of believing me. The numbers speak for themselves. Half of all economic activity online any given day is on Amazon. And there's millions of listings that you can sell products against. And a lot of them are just ripe for you to drop the right product on the ASIN at the right price. And it's a profitable price. I mean, it's just, there's not a lot of explaining needed beyond that. But you do have to do the work.
But
you did it. I love it. So what tools are you using? Explain to me your process. On the RAOA, what are you doing? Are you taking store pictures? Are you shopping online, looking for what they have? Talk me through some of your ASINs that you found. Don't tell me the exact product, obviously, but just what was the process?
Right. So I knew from the beginning that I needed to figure out what I needed to do and what I needed to learn. And everybody was saying, you need to learn Keepa, you need to learn SellerAmp, and you need to learn how to read those graphs. So I spent just 2 weeks just learning how to read graphs, how to understand what these all mean. So I spent 2 weeks doing that. Once I did that, actually when I was at ASD, I purchased somebody's booth. And I would say that was probably the best and the worst thing that I could have ever done.
Okay.
The best thing, because as I was listing each item, because they were all different items, it was like 400 items, but they were all like individuals. So I had to list each one individually.
Against existing ASINs. Taught me a lot. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, you weren't setting up any new listings on Amazon.
No.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, so that process taught me a lot on how to do all of that. Before I even started the wholesale. That was like just the very, very beginning.
Yeah.
But it was also like the worst thing because I still have like a bunch of them that I can't sell that I'm not ungated in.
Right.
I gave some to family. I was like, I can't sell this. It's not selling on Amazon. So, but just having that as a tool to like learn was very, very helpful for me in the beginning.
Pardon the brief interruption, but I want to tell you about a new sponsor who we are very excited to bring on board. They help you buy or sell an Amazon account. Did you know you can do that? Within Amazon's policy, completely legitimate. They've helped hundreds of others do these transactions. You can sell your Amazon account if you're done with it and you haven't used it in a while. You know someone who's got one that they're not using. Tell them about silentgym.com/buy or sell. BUYORSELL. Just spell it out like it's one word. silentgym.com/buy or sell. If you want to get a head start and get ramped up faster with category approval and some of the other challenges that come with having a new account, you can kind of skip over those. Again, this is Amazon approved transactions. They're going to vet you. The company that you're going to be buying the account from will be vetted as well. And again, we vouch for them because they've helped a whole bunch of people over the years in our community either buy or sell an Amazon account. That account that you have that's just sitting dormant, maybe it's a spare account you're not using any longer, it could be worth some money. So contact them. silentgym.com/buy or sell. Let's get back to the program.
But just having that as a tool to like learn was very, very helpful for me in the beginning.
What's your process for finding winning ASINs?
Yeah, so my biggest one, and I don't know if this is like looked down upon in the community, but I was doing a lot of reverse sourcing for the last few months to get my RIOAs up there.
No, we love it. Yeah. Looking what other sellers are selling, looking how it's going for them and finding other opportunities. I mean, that's all reselling is. It's looking at what's working and where's the room for me. Where are the underserved ASINs? So right. Yeah, we look at each other's stores constantly. And
okay. I wasn't sure. So I was like,
no, it's absolutely. I mean, we teach the strategy for combing through multiple stores very quickly and finding opportunity. You know, most of our best ASINs are ones that we're playing on with numerous other sellers.
Right.
And in many cases, again, it's not about being the most aggressive price. It's about being on fast moving products that I can easily source. Mm-hmm. And sell at a price that's profitable for me. And in many cases, I've given 70 examples in the past few weeks alone from my own Amazon selling account where I'm well above buy box where all the other sellers are playing. And I'm getting steady, consistent sales, right? So looking at other seller accounts to just discover new products, new stores, new sources, new ideas, nothing wrong with that. The one thing that sometimes people think, oh, that's cheating. Well, there's no one out there with a perfect store. If someone looked at my store, for example, at any given time, you know, with 1,500 different products, there's 10, 15% of them that we're trying to liquidate. So you look at us and like, oh, there's a hot product. Like, no, we're done with that one. We're moving on. There's others we're just testing. We don't know if it's good yet or not.
Got it.
And so there's no way to know what I paid as another seller, what they paid, how they sourced it, how deep they are, how long they've been selling it. I mean, those things are just virtually impossible to know all those details, but you can get some ideas. And sometimes you'll see stuff that's low hanging fruit. Like, wow, okay, that looks like a really hot toy. I can only find a couple of them at a time.
here locally, but I'm going to sell on that ASIN as well. So yeah, we encourage that. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
Another thing was one day, I want to say like in the middle of the whole fiasco, right before I got big, but like after I made a few sales already, my boyfriend came home one day and she was like, "You're never going to believe what happened to me today or what I learned today." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "My new boss sells on Amazon and he made over $1 million last year." I was like, "What?" I was like, I was shocked that somebody so close to us did it, but I wasn't shocked at his numbers because I've done the research. I know there's a lot of big timers out there doing this. And he was telling me that one of his biggest bread and butter is from this one store that you can only shop in store. And that's one of the ones that I'm selling currently also. So that was kind of one of the big pushers for me in the beginning also was I know somebody now who is doing it.
Local even. Yeah. And there's so many in this community, which is why it's so valuable for the listeners and for you if you have the opportunity to come to our event in Orlando in May.
Yeah.
Is to be surrounded with people who are doing it at all levels. I was on a phone call today with a student who's been in our community for quite some time. I hadn't heard from him. I wasn't sure how he was doing or what he was up to. But he did 16 million last year in arbitrage. Not private label, not wholesale, arbitrage. And he's gotten into some international opportunities even, but it's all arbitrage. Just shopping off of normal retail store shelves, either online or retail shelves, you know, physical stores. And he's got a team of people and he did 16 million. Isn't that crazy? At over $1 million gross. And his net was, I think he said 15, 17, something like that net after everybody was been paid, including himself. So the numbers scale beautifully. And you can you can do this business at, you know, the $500 a week level. Or you can do it at the $500,000 a week level, apparently.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. Scales bigger than you can imagine. But this is the future as well. I mean, so it doesn't surprise me at all that there's people around you. And those stores that, you know, you can't order online and maybe they don't like resellers, but their stuff is on Amazon. Hey, there's opportunity there if you're willing to be the one that creates the convenience for the customers who don't want to have to get in their car and drive. You're going to get rewarded for it. So plenty of opportunity out there. Outstanding. Yeah. So is he involved in your business as well, your boyfriend, or was he just kind of telling you the...
He doesn't do like drop-ups for me. But other than that,
runs errands.
I'm
100%. Yeah. Yeah. I gotcha. Well, you're doing a great job for one man show, one lady show, one mom show. That's so great.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Any questions for me or anything else you wanted to share with the listeners today? You've provided a lot of value. I'm proud of you. I know the community's rooting for you. You're in good company being a part of this community. What other thoughts do you have? Anything else you wanted to go into?
I did have one question and it kind of escaped my mind, but I do have one that I wrote down earlier, and that's I love to read. I love to read like business books and like psychology. And so I was wondering if you have any book recommendations.
Yeah, well, I can tell you the books that have most shaped my business philosophy and approach to business success are Outside the Bible Itself, my next favorite books, because the Bible has twice as much to say about money and business as it does love and prayer. There's a lot of good, very practical.
That's on my list.
What's that?
That's on my list.
Is it? Outstanding.
Yeah, I have a huge list. But
here's the book that I've always got it sitting nearby because whenever this topic comes up, I grab it. Business Secrets from the Bible by Rabbi Daniel Lappin. This is actually our keynote speaker at our event this year in Orlando as well. The Proven Conference is the website, theprovenconference.com. But it's just very practical, regardless of worldview. You don't have to be a Christian or Jewish or, you know, to believe these things or, you know, it's not about your belief system. It's more about the practicality of the timeless nature of people and what it's like to succeed in business, which basically ultimately is just serving other people, building quality, mutually beneficial relationships. That's all business is. But it really dives into specifics and strategies and helps you understand your mindset. Not to do a huge commercial for it, but I think one of the things we battle against in business is we're surrounded in a culture constantly bombarded. Our culture tells us that to succeed financially means you're taking from others, you're pillaging, you're like, what are you going to give back is the big question. Yeah. But what he guides into is it's impossible. There is absolutely no way to build a profitable business with happy clients without giving constantly. You are giving, you're giving your money, you're giving your time, you're investing, you're taking risks, you're serving with excellence. That's how you survive in business. So business is a virtuous activity. You know, now you can definitely lack virtue and steal money, but that's called theft. If you don't have happy customers, you're not doing it right. If you've got happy customers who are gladly paying you, that's a virtuous activity. And you're doing so many good things that you don't even stop to imagine sometimes. Like, let's look at your business, for example, Raquel. You're talking about the boxes and the tape, the supplies you need, the stores that you visited, the products you've purchased. You've impacted the lives of tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people here in just a few months with the activities you've taken. You've
never thought
built
about it that way.
Benefits into their lives. Their families have income because of the activities, the actions that you're taking. So that book just really reaffirms that and a lot of other things. Another one that I tend to recommend quite a bit, a good handful, but what might I recommend after that? There's one called Beyond Blessed. There's The Blessed Life and Beyond Blessed by Pastor Robert Morris. And he just talks quite a bit, especially in the second one, Beyond Blessed, about stewardship and about seeing your business not as something that helps me get what I want, but seeing your business as I'm working for God by serving his other children with excellence. None of this is mine. It's just such a great, healthy mindset to have. Kind of, hey, I'm doing this for you, God. It's all yours. The problems are yours. The benefits are yours. I'm just a steward is the biblical word. And I love that concept of stewardship where I'm taking care of property that belongs to another. I'm charged with expanding that property and returning it upon request. That's stewardship. So I like those books. A very practical book is one by Dave Ramsey called Entree Leadership. And it just talks about growing an organization. Some very practical, how to interview and hire the right people. You know, what policies you put in place to keep your business on track.
I love Dave Ramsey. He's awesome.
Do you? Okay, cool.
Yeah, I read The Total Money Makeover.
Yeah, he's got some great stuff. And yeah. I've got a friend who's a very good friend. Actually, he's battling terminal cancer right now. His name's Dan Miller. Really good dude. Been a mentor to me. But he introduced me to Dave Ramsey early on. It's been several years ago. And actually, I got Dave Ramsey to endorse one of my books a while back, which is pretty cool, Dan. So Thank you, Dan. Love you, brother. I've enjoyed a lot of his material and worked with his organization a little bit over the years. And so a lot of connections there with him. I'd love to at some point work closer with his organization and kind of help take people from, I call it his beans and rice training, you know, helping people get out of debt. What do you do after that? Once you're back up to zero, you know, let's build something, right? Like exactly. I'd like to be part of helping people build. And we're doing that.
At
a pretty high level, we're already kind of helping do that. So we have a lot of people we've sent his way, and they've sent people our way through their Facebook groups and that sort of thing. Nothing official beyond the book endorsement, which was huge. But a lot of ties there. But that's a good book, Entree Leadership. Very practical. Like one of the tips, I'll just pull a random tip from this. But when you're hiring someone, if they're married, do what you can to meet the spouse. Because as Dave says in the book, married to crazy is crazy. So you want to know what you're getting yourself into, right?
Right.
This real practical stuff like that, that you maybe wouldn't necessarily think of if you've never been through the process of going from, you know, a card table in your garage to 5, 10, 15. And at this point, he's like, I don't know, 700-800 employees and voted one of the best places to work in Tennessee consistently year after year. So a lot of good lessons in there. Very practical. So that's enough of a reading list. I could go on all day, but hopefully...
I do have one more question if you have time. So I'm in this place where I'm kind of battling myself because I don't know if I want to. My goal is to not have to do all the work.
Of course.
I don't want to be the one-woman band. I want to hire out as much as I can so that I have more time because, as you know, time is our most valuable asset.
Of course.
And I'm thinking, do I go ahead and plan to get a warehouse for my business, or do I just continue what I'm doing? And what I kind of envision is working with multiple prep centers around the U.S. close to different distributors that have the resources available that I can sell profitably.
I love it. Lots for me to talk about there, and I love the question. Let me dive into it a little bit. I like the overall strategy and plan. It's very viable. One of the lessons that I will start with here is actually a lesson from Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership book, where I learned and have applied this to my business at every step, is when you're first hiring someone, the first hire you make, right now it's just you, but when you actually hire someone, that's a pivotal decision. You don't want to hire someone that makes your life more convenient, because that just pulls money out of the process. You want to hire someone that puts money into the process. You want to hire somebody that's finding more profitable inventory. That's your first hire. So you get really good at finding good profitable inventory. You teach someone else how to do that. They're on your team now. Now you've got the extra margin to start to do some of the things you're talking about. And we've got the Prep Center Network list, which is a free list. PrepCenterNetwork.com has the list of all the known prep centers in the United States. No reason you couldn't have distributors near them, although that's not necessarily as big of an advantage as you might think, because the difference shipping it 10 miles, the cost of shipping something 10 miles versus shipping it 250 is not that much difference, right? Okay. So the proximity isn't a huge deal. Now, shipping it 2,000 miles costs you more than shipping it 10 or 250, but you know, it's not like you have to have someone in each major city to make this thing work, right?
Right.
So, you know, there's that. But you do have a very viable concept there for sure, of finding different distributors and building out, but it's all slow and steady. It's just, you know, you do a little bit at a time, build your team. The first hire, again, is someone who finds profitable inventory for you. And then I think the next hire is someone who does a lot of the prep for you. And then it's just a matter of taking the opportunities as they come. You don't have to map this thing out 5 years. Because what I've seen happen organically time and time again is some of those hot products that you find kind of leads to opportunity, leads to relationships, leads to conversations. So really the path forward is adding to your list of people who know, like, and trust you. Another concept from the Business Secrets from the Bible book, the path forward and growth for your business is you becoming a better leader, using your face and your voice, and getting out there and talking, building those relationships, going where the opportunities guide you, versus putting it all down on paper one day and like, okay, today I'm going to contact 6 wholesalers and I'm going to land one of them and I'm going to send them to this prep center and they got to be in this city. And like, there's some value
in that.
That's
what I was doing. Yeah. Right.
But, and I can appreciate that. And that's a hustle. I get that. But don't abandon the relationships you're making along the way, because you could be one short little conversation away from someone going, wow, wait, okay, you're an Amazon seller? Yeah. Would you mind just coming by once a week and just clearing out the back of our warehouse? Do you have the team for that? Like, I don't have the team yet, but I could get the team because you got a bunch of gold bars sitting back there and I'd love to sell them for you, right? And share the profit. And those kind of opportunities come from relationships, not from strategy. So, you know, stated differently, I don't know if I've ever said it specifically this way, but don't be so strategy focused that you miss out on the relational opportunities that are going to just come at you fast and furious. Because we are in the most cutting edge. You know, you're getting your business degree. I would argue that there's nothing else being taught at that business school that's going to be anywhere near as valuable as a skill set as e-commerce and being able to confidently say, yeah, I know how to sell things online. I know how to navigate Amazon. That opens doors. Because most brands just have no idea, right? So relationships are where the opportunity is, and staying flexible, not in having a nice long catalog of wholesalers, distributors, products. It always turns back to relationships at some point. Those are the people that really thrive and succeed long-term. So does that feel practical to you?
Yes, absolutely.
Good. Okay. Outstanding. Yeah, we've seen a lot of students come and go, and people that, and it's just, I've observed, you know, we've had thousands of students at this point. I've just observed the people that make it are the people that are intentional about relationships. And they attend the events, they set up masterminds and Zoom with their buddies, and you know, they share their struggles and their wins with a group of people that are on the similar journey. Those are the people that thrive. Yeah. Opportunities fall in their lap. Their phone rings with unexpected opportunities because they've got this network of connections.
I can't wait. I'm waiting for that group to like come to me because I'm there.
Well, being on this podcast is going to help for sure. Coming to the conference in May is a huge benefit. One of the things we do for VIP attendees is we assign you a mastermind based on your survey responses. So if you can come, that's one.
I will 100% be there.
Wow. That's
even if I have to miss my graduation, I'll be there.
Wow.
Being there is more invaluable than
incredible.
Getting a piece of paper in front of a bunch of people that I don't know.
I'm not the one that said it, but I tend to agree. You know, I skipped my graduation from college because there was an event I wanted to attend to. So actually, you know, like you move the tassel, you get your paper. Hey, it's a big deal. I'm not trying to talk it down. If anyone's proud of their achievement, I get it. But this event, you will not regret being a part of it. And the fact that you're potentially skipping graduation, because I know that you check it on the date still, but you're not sure. But if you have to skip it,
I've already decided.
Tickets are on me. Just let me know. And whoever you're bringing with you, bring the kids. It's right by SeaWorld in Orlando too. So
yeah,
come on down.
I can do my graduation photos at SeaWorld.
Yes, absolutely. Bring your gown and cap and just get some photos there, right?
There we go.
That's fantastic. I'm sure they have a way to participate virtually anyway. These days, everyone does, it seems like. So,
I do have one last question.
Of course.
Okay. It's an inventory question. I have been playing around a little bit, tracking my inventory. So one of the things that I learned in college was I had to get certified in Microsoft. So I know Microsoft Word, Excel, all that. Good. I'm like proficient in Excel. I'm trying to build a kind of like a software, or I don't know how you explain it, but just to track my inventory because I have so much now that I'm getting bigger. Like I'm trying to figure out how to do that in a way where I can see, okay, I have this coming in, I have this going out. This is an FC transfer. Like that's what I'm trying to build right now. But I'm like, do you have any advice for that?
Yeah, you don't want to. I mean, you could take a shot at building it, and you may be able to come up with something that's very workable. Actually, to get the basic moving parts on a spreadsheet isn't that complicated. But I don't suggest it. There's tools that do these things for you. There is one that's actually. Have you heard podcast episode 754 with Kang yet?
I did.
You heard what's coming with that. That's going to be very reasonably priced software that does everything you're describing plus some, with a guy who ran a, you know, eight-figure business at a high level, nine-figure business as a software guy. He set the whole, so he's really got some sharp software that does a lot of those moving parts for you. There's other tools already developed as well. Replin Dashboard isn't expensive at all, and it can really help with some of those things. To where basically what you want to be doing is making good inventory decisions. When do I need to buy more? How much should I buy? Those kinds of things. And that's what this software is going to be really designed to do. Again, podcast episode 754 with Kang. You know, for those who haven't heard it, but it sounds like you did catch that episode. So the website for that is silentgym.com/thesystem. If for those who don't know, and I know you've heard of it, Raquel, so we're going to be talking about that at the conference as well, too, hopefully rolling it out by then. So in the meantime, kind of keep doing what you're doing. Use some spreadsheets to kind of track some things. That's great. Some people hate spreadsheets. Some people love them.
I love spreadsheets. You know, I'm obsessed.
I'm a weirdo. I'm a bit of a nerd with spreadsheets, too. I can do a lot of crazy stuff with a spreadsheet. I don't get so much into coding and the scripting in the background, but just like the basic usage of them, the formulas and such. Yeah, I'm a big nerd with all that, too. I've built a lot of our systems as well, but we're going to be rolling over to this new system that Kang's built.
Simply, okay. You know, some of the cool things it does, I know you probably heard us talk about this, Raquel, but, you know, as you accumulate all these ASINs over time, it's going to automatically keep an eye on all of them and alert you when right. you go back and take a look at one of them because, hey, it's, you know, the data looks good on this one. Time to go check and maybe buy a few more, right?
That kind of. Even if you deleted that listing off of your Amazon?
Yeah, you can keep the ASIN in your database for sure without okay. actually selling it, you know, because okay. it is keeping track of all your ASINs that you've ever sold. Even if you're not selling them right now and have no inventory, it's keeping an eye on it. It's saying, okay, is this time to go revisit this one? And so as you heard him say, you know, his business is completely automated. He's got 3 or 4 people to run the whole thing. His warehouse is ordering, keep a tracking, all of his ASINs, everything is done through that one piece of software. And he doesn't do anything except monitor the statistics. So yeah, it's a...
That's what I'm trying to get to in my...
Yeah. Well, it won't be long. You'll be there before long.
I hope so.
Well, cool. Well, great episode. Thanks for your transparency. So excited to come into the event in May and hopefully bring the kids. And it'd be good to get to know you a little bit and get to know the community a little bit. And really appreciate you hanging out with us today.
Thank you for having me. And I do want to mention one thing to anybody out there.
Please do.
I am so grateful for the community that you built, because just having the community on Facebook, that was so invaluable for me during Q4 because I didn't know what I was doing. Mm. And I was able to just ask a question and get the answer within a few hours. And like my stress levels went way down.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was able to have that.
Good to hear it.
Yeah, that was amazing. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Silent Sales Machine Radio. Visit silentjim.com for a link to our free newsletter, our free Facebook group, and all of our resources mentioned on today's show.